PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week, I believe his third time on the show, is Mr. Casey Schultz of Cleveland Srixon Golf. He's a senior product manager over there. Casey, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Excited to be here.
It's like your yearly return. It's always welcomed because you got crazy amounts of new product. How has the year gone for you?
It's been a pretty good year. I mean, I think the overall line has been received well and was a sort of forgiving focused year for us. But I think we're really excited for 2025 and kind of getting back to our bread and butter with the Srixon product and Cleveland Blade Wedges. I mean, what's more exciting than that? I think these are the years that a lot of your listeners really look forward to from us. And I think we really hit it out of the park this year.
Yeah, it's like an avalanche of crazy going on. You have the show coming up here. I'm not entirely sure when we're dropping this show live, but if it's this week, then you have the show coming up soon. Always an exciting time of year to get out there and sort of celebrate what you've been working on. Or is it like a little bit of concern where you have to really validate what you've been working on?
I mean, this year, I think it's going to be a lot of celebration. And we've got a lot of the early feedback from basically everybody on the positivity of these clubs. And I've never been this excited to kind of share with the world what we've been spending so long making. And I think it will basically be a celebration is a good term for it. I'm kind of just showing the world a peek behind the curtain of, from my end, how we came up with these products and then, you know, giving everybody the opportunity to test and experience the performance for themselves and, you know, see how great these products look in person and get more understanding about the tech and the innovation we've been able to put into these and help people play better golf. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Before we get too deep into the meat of this episode, can you share with everyone, the audience, what exactly your role is at Cleveland Srixon and how you sort of impact the conversation as the year goes on?
Sure. So yeah, I'm senior product manager here. I've been here for almost 7 years now at the company. And my role is really to touch everything when it comes to the product, whether it be from naming and ideation early on to working with engineers to ensure we're aligned on which technologies we're going to be putting in and making sure that everything aligns with what our players are looking for from a performance and a cosmetic perspective, doing a lot of surveys. I don't know how many of your listeners might be in our survey squad, but we send out, you know, a lot of surveys to get feedback from our golfers on last generation product and what we can do better to suit their game. Taking feedback from Tor and, you know, what those guys are looking for and what Brooks is looking for in a new wedge and all of that, and kind of compiling all of that into a product plan and then walking the product all the way through from initial ideation to final release with ensuring our marketing team understands the technologies and communicate those well, ensuring that everything gets put into the product in a tasteful way and kind of being essentially in charge of every aspect of the product from start to finish.
Well, that's cool. And you get to engage and experience with pretty much every aspect from metal to bunker, I guess you could say, for a wedge perspective, right?
Every aspect of the product is definitely sort of under my purview. Every aspect of the development process, the fun and the not so fun, dealing with the lawyers, from dealing with the engineers to come up with all this cool stuff and figuring out how to put it into a product, from dealing with the marketing team. I'm really, you know, involved in all aspects and kind of the biggest expert in the product in the overall development process, since I've kind of been there since day one on each one of these.
So I would ask you who the worst is, but that's probably pretty unfair. And this is going live, so probably don't want to share. But is there a part of the story that you get most excited about, whether that's seeing it slowly get developed or seeing the way that people get their hands on it and react to it? Like what about this process is so enriching for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the initial reactions can be really exciting a lot of the times when you've worked so hard on a product. And I think with these RTZ wedges, and myself and my team have been diving into forums recently, and there's just an unlimited amount of positivity this time around, which I think is warranted for how great of a product it is. With this one in particular, I think the developments we've made are so revolutionary compared to where we've kind of been and really setting a new precedent in our own wedge design that kind of experiencing the actual product and kind of going through the process of getting this Z-Alloy material approved and through all of the hurdles that we had to go through to get it to production has been a really rewarding process and has been truly, truly exciting to kind of be putting something groundbreaking into the industry and working with all of the teams to make that happen.
You know, one of the first things I wanted to talk about was the fact that since we are going, that the meat of this episode is going to be around RTZ wedges. The last time I had you on, it was like a gauntlet of information. And it's not that everyone didn't love it. It was really fun to go through that adventure with Cleveland products last year. But, you know, I really wanted to give enough time for a product like this. And because Cleveland has such a storied past in wedges, this is something I'm really curious about. You want to take that next step, but and justify getting new products, but you also don't want to step on the toes of folks who deeply believe in your brand. And I'll use myself as an example. I was deeply emotionally invested in RTX4. Like there was a special place. I'm not saying I took them to bed at night, but you know, there was you become emotionally connected with those products. So making these revolutionary changes, while they may feel or present a little bit subtle from a visual, can have a big impact. So how much do you have to toe the line there?
Oh, it's a lot. I mean, even suggesting a new material, which, you know, we sort of did years ago, and the development process of this has taken ages, to, you know, higher ups or to Tor especially, is met with a lot of pushback initially. So there's a ton of that. Let's not broke what isn't, you know, broken. But we still, you know, as a team are really pushing the envelope of what's possible in design, and especially in wedges where, you know, we're trying to kind of be on the cutting edge of innovation and really designing the wedge of the future as a team. And getting past all of those hurdles is not easy. And the validation and the Tor testing and the durability and the, you know, this material has to do this many things, and the wedge still has to check all of these boxes while improving in these areas. There's a lot of people who have a lot of say and can have a lot of pushback on a lot of those aspects. And to sort of guide this program through the process of getting, you know, approvals from all of the right team members and making sure we're not going to have some sort of Tor adoption issue or some sort of durability issue or, you know, any of these potential things in this, you know, years long validation for this program. Has really been rewarding to kind of get to the finish line with something as exciting as we ended up with.
So does RTZ stand for Z alloy? Is that where the Z come from?
It does.
Or Z, yeah, if I know you're listening from Canada or the UK?
Yeah, we had a lot of early people who were like, oh, the Z is going to be for Zipcore or that kind of thing. But, I mean, we have a lot of Zs, Zipcore, UltiZip, HydraZip. There's Zs are kind of in the family, but yes, Z alloy or zero alloy, as we unofficially call it, is going to be where the naming kind of convention comes from, and hinting at that really revolutionary development there.
Okay, well, let's dive into Z-Alloy, because it sounds crazy. It's made some really positive and potentially some unintentionally positive improvements to the product. I want to start by asking, how often do you try to manipulate new material, and how rarely is it where you try something, or if you do, how rarely is it where you try something that really takes off the way that Z-Alloy does or did?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we do a lot is mess around with different material options that are already out there in the market and already in the industry on our irons and, you know, in the past with driver faces or things like that, new titaniums that are, you know, in different industries or, you know, that are becoming more popular are certainly something we'll always go pull menus from vendors and see what already exists and what there is to put in and, you know, make incremental gains that way. But what we'd never done before is really create a material from scratch that didn't exist in any other industry. Wasn't something that, you know, we pulled from aerospace or we, you know, kind of were able to just take from a menu. It's something that you have to have somebody with that expertise. And the PhD that we hired kind of focused on metallurgy was really the expertise we needed to be able to develop something like that. And actually worked with a couple different potential vendors, and when one couldn't make it, we had to go with another one, or you know, that sort of thing. It was not something we were really going to really sacrifice on when coming up with a material that checked all the boxes we needed for performance and was something that, you know, the world has never seen before. It's a proprietary alloy that's designed specifically for golf. I mean, that's extremely exciting and unique to us, and not something anybody can replicate, right? All the other wedges out there are going to be 8620. This is going to be the only one that's going to be made out of Z alloy forever, essentially.
Yeah, 8620 Z alloy. That all makes perfect sense to me. No. what's curious about something like this is I've walked through golf companies in the back where they're doing all this testing, and I know everything is incredibly rigorous in that regard. But when it comes to an alloy, how do you know that it will withstand the test of time, especially from a wedge perspective? Like, dude, the wedges get beat up when they're in play. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the first thing to make contact with sand, the first thing that gets touched by all those different chemicals that sit in the grass on golf courses. You know, they are absolutely beat up by golfers. So getting softer cannot be an easy process without being at the cost of any sort of durability. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was one of the big goals that we kind of set out with this. I think there were a few. One was the durability had to be as good or better as last generation. The other one is we wanted it to be softer, you know, an overall wedge that was softer and better feeling for golfers. And especially your better players care a lot about that. And that buttery performance off of a wedge is something that every golfer strives to, you know, achieve with their short game. And then we also wanted more discretionary mass to move around and, you know, increase that sort of CG and MOI benefit that you're going to be getting, shift that center of gravity a little towards the center of the face and a little bit more subtly shifted MOI for forgiveness within the blade wedge constraints with that overall clean and cosmetic look. So with the durability aspect, we really kind of went about it a couple ways. First, this material, while being softer, is going to be, especially with the plating on the standard, just as durable as everything in the past. We've gone through tons of robot testing and we have bag shake testing and a list of an infinite amount of quality assurance tests to ensure that nothing was going to be sort of lost there when it came to the durability aspect. So from a tour satin and a black satin perspective, you're going to be getting exactly the same durability as you're going to be getting in any past wedges, and with that better feel of the overall softer material kind of built in there. So that was really exciting to kind of be able to achieve that with the processes we went forward with. But where it's really exciting is actually the tour rack, where by removing the rust of the wedges and diving into the research of how bad rust truly is and how much that myth that rust adds spin is truly just that, it's just a myth. We've been able to ensure that our grooves are gonna last longer and be more durable than ever before in a Cleveland raw wedge, which has been extremely exciting for our tour players, but even more so for your average golfer who isn't going to be able to replace a wedge every 6 months, or certainly wouldn't like to have to replace a wedge every 6 months. And, you know, not having that rust property while still maintaining everything that's needed in a raw wedge, like that lack of glare at address and that overall, you know, raw feel that you can sort of get out of that product, is truly revolutionary. With the, we've seen 87% less groove wear with the reduction of or removal of that rust from all of our wedges. So it's really a material that checked all of the boxes we were looking for. And I'm really excited for everybody to be able to try it out this year.
So you take Z alloy out on tour. Do you flat out tell these guys, hey, we've got something different, this is what it is, or hey, hit this and we'll tell you what's different about it?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think we describe it a little bit to them. But I mean, originally there was certainly some hesitance from our internal team on giving these guys who have played 8620 wedges, you know, most of their life, a new product with a, you know, a new material, and that's not going to rust, right? They're all playing these tour rack wedges in the past that are going to be rusting after a few rounds. And what we found was that the rust actually wasn't as much of a benefit, even perceived by our tour guys, as maybe the general consumer perception is, that these tour players are liking that rust and understanding, you know, there's a benefit there, or at least thinking there's a benefit there. We actually found a number of our tour players, funny enough, I would not recommend anybody do this, would go to a bunker before rounds and get their rust off their face that way, which bunker shots are the worst for wedge face durability. So I would never recommend doing that. But it was hilarious to hear that some tour players would actually try to get the rust off that way before rounds. It's because they didn't like to look at it and they didn't like the, you know, lack of consistency it potentially brought. So, you know, that mindset isn't shared necessarily across the board, but we've originally found that there wasn't going to be much pushback with the REST-free design. I think what we were even a little bit surprised to find in the end was how quick adoption happened. I mean, this has been the easiest adoption we've really ever had on a wedge launch. Basically, our entire staff who, you know, plays the newer wedges is already in it. Everybody's loving the feel, loving the look, loving the REST-free cosmetic. It's been an absolute winner on tour and has just truly been a hit. A lot of those early kind of concerns and the transitioning and going, you know, away from a material that everybody was so used to has really not led to any issues and has actually led to a lot of excitement and people feeling the improvements of this new design.
So one of the questions I think a lot of people are curious about on tour is, are they all in these raw wedges? Do many of your tour staff opt to not play raw?
I would say virtually the entire tour staff is in raw. I think every once in a while, I want to say Brooks actually put a tour satin, maybe like a 48 or something in the bag. You could maybe correct me if I'm wrong on that one this year of the RTZ. But the vast majority use the raw wedges, mainly for a couple of reasons. One being glare reduction, that just kind of more matte look at a dress is something tour players are just used to seeing. Even our standard wedges have quite high glare reduction, especially with that sort of hydrazip blasted face. So I actually don't think that's as important as it's been in the past, but it's something tour players are used to looking at. And it's most of the inventory on our tour trucks is the tour raw ones. So that's one reason. They're also just used to sort of that raw feel, and there's at least a little bit of a perception there that it's different, even though that's tough to prove. And then you can grind the raw wedges, which you can't on sort of the tour satin and the black satin. So having the ability to sort of make those customizations as needed to, you know, add a little bit more relief or a leading edge roundness, or a lot of the things we offer through our tour crafted custom grind program are offered on the tour truck as well for those tour players who need a little bit of refinement to their actual wedge game.
Yeah, I always thought it was because of how easy it was to manipulate them on the truck. Hey, I want a little bit of this off here or a little bit of that off there, and became sort of a natural thing. What's curious to me is I've always been incredibly anti-rust. Not because I think it has a negative impact. I would assume it probably does, but that was mostly just my hateful bias towards it. I prefer a clean look. And in fact, I've owned rust-capable wedges and have managed to keep them rust-free for months at a time. So, sure. You know, there's a level of hatred I have for it just because I think it looks terrible. But it's always kept me away from the raw conversation because I knew, like, it takes a lot of work. So I've been in like that black oxide finish for a really long time, that anything sure. Black, whatever, something to differentiate a little bit from the irons, kill any of the glare that was possibly there. So I guess my question to you, Casey, is now that you've unlocked this beautiful new world with Z-Alloy, am I crazy to go black for my wedges this year, or do I take a chance and go raw?
I mean, I think both options are extremely valid. I mean, through our tour rack program, you've got an option to do things that you couldn't on the black wedges, right? If you want to tweak that leading edge to go a little rounder, a little sharper for whatever conditions you play, you've got that opportunity. Same thing with sole grinds. If you want, you know, an S-shaped on a full, a little bit more bounce, but still getting some relief and being able to open the face, you've got that ability. And kind of all with that sort of, you know, tour authentic finish without the rust. I mean, I think the rust thing has been really exciting to see the feedback on. We had a lot of pushback early, people play a raw wedge because it rusts. But I don't know if it's a little cocky to compare it to the old days of the Persimmon Woods. I'm sure there were people, you know, when those came out saying, oh yeah, I want to play a wooden one. It feels better. I like that. In the end, performance just wins. I mean, I've made the the quote that every time you see a flake of rust on a wedge, it's an engineer's tear as one of their technologies is slowly being removed from the product, whether it be a laser line or a roughness blast or something along those lines. It's just hurting the overall performance and the way we design the wedges. And at some point we just had to call a spade and won't release a product that, you know, performs worse. So yeah, I know there's a lot of people out there, unlike yourself, that have liked the rust appeal and the rust look in the past. And I think we're just focused on making products that are in a performance first mindset, and kind of moving forward with this non-rusting raw opens up a whole new avenue of players that would have never considered a RAW, like yourself as well, to try it out and experience a lot of these customization options that come along with that design as well.
Yeah, I wonder if the whole Rust thing was they get comfortable with that RAW presentation and the Rust sort of like becomes a reminder that that's what they're in. You know what I mean? Like that comfort level. Well, if it's rusting, it's what I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe when they go out and hit it now, and you probably have some information on these tour guys, they go out and hit this wedge and it's exactly what they want it to be, just not rusty. Right. Is that kind of what's going on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there was still, you know, a bit of a perception out there that, oh yeah, rust is just what happens on tour, right? If you're playing a tour wedge, it's going to rust. So I think there's definitely a move on our part here to sort of put that aside as a bit of a, you know, a rumor or falsehood of, well, it's actually not adding a benefit. It's a byproduct of everything else you needed to do for a tour. And not as big of a deal in the past because tour players can replace their wedges whenever they want. It's not an issue. If Brooks's wedge rusts after two rounds, we're not going to tell him, oh, no, you've only had that for two rounds. We're going to give him a new wedge. No problem. No questions asked. Which is not, you know, a treatment that any other golfer can really get. So, I think the misnomer of the rust benefit or the overall rust, you know, usage has been something we're really trying to misprove or disprove this time around. And our tour staff has really been on board and understanding of that and is pretty excited to not have to worry about that as much with this set of wedges, which still give them all the benefits they're looking for and more. Without that sort of concern.
So with this new material, does it open the door for additional options from a finish perspective, or does it make it more limited? Where does that end up?
I would say from a finish perspective, we've gone with pretty similar finishes this time around to what we've done in the past, other than obviously the feature of the RAW not rusting. But I do think it opens the door to a lot new sort of shaping opportunities and actually, I wouldn't say close the door, but made it a lot more challenging to put some of the existing technologies in there. Everything that has been featured in our last wedges, like ZipCore, HydraZip, UltiZip Grooves, all of these items had to be kind of re-established into this new material. It wasn't just a copy and paste from 8620 to get ZipCore into the new wedge or a HydraZip Blast or the same groove milling. Everything sort of is treated a little bit differently when you're going from a different material to a new one. So the performance of all those items will be, you know, what you're used to expecting from the past generation RTX 6 and before, but the process of getting there was actually a bit of a challenge. So I think, you know, coming to a new material sort of opened some doors, and then to even get to that same level that you started at before was a challenge. And now that we're there, and we've achieved all of the extra weight shifts and everything we're looking to accomplished with this wedge, the sky's the limit to keep moving forward and keep developing wedges.
Okay, so let's talk HydraZip, UltiZip. You know, these things that this aggressive attention to the elements that exist with Cleveland wedges, and you guys have been focused on that for quite some time now, keeping that which you don't want on the face of a wedge. Obviously, you haven't figured out a way to clean people's grooves for them yet after they've hit. You know, that's always a challenge. But there are lots of elements that exist in your product you mentioned that are challenging to bring over to the new product, but obviously they're important enough for you to find a way. How critical are things like HydraZip and UltiZip to present Cleveland in the way you expect it to play?
Totally. I think what we've really done a great job here is stacking technologies each generation without taking really any sacrifices of ones we've had in the past. So, I mean, the process really started with the RT of Rotex, right? That milling pattern that we've had for so long that really provides that roughness across the face and is kind of an arcing pattern that when you open up the face will align a little bit more even with those open face shots to create that roughness there. From there, we've really moved forward with all of these new face additions, and UltiZip, I think, being one of the bigger ones that kind of got overshadowed because it came out at the same time as the RTX ZipCore wedge, was kind of a secondary story, but is a really big deal of having those tighter, deeper grooves that are a lot closer together, and you're getting a lot more groove contact. It makes a significant difference from anything before, even your poor I love the RTX 4 too, but it was quite the jump from the grooves on the RTX 4 to the UltiZip grooves, especially out of rough when you're getting a little bit more groove contact and you're getting a little bit more grass behind the ball and the club. We see extreme differences in spin numbers going from that older groove design to the UltiZips there. And then from there, our sort of transition was into, okay, well, how about wet performance? How can we really nail down a consistent performance in, you know, all conditions that you're going to be playing? And we find a lot of people play in wet conditions more often than they expect and do in early morning rounds. And it's not just when it's dumping down rain. And that's where HydroZip came in, which is, you know, a different blast and laser line system throughout the set. There's a different one from the 50 to 52 to the 54 on up, and then even down from the pitching wedge lofts. You're going to be getting performance that's specifically dialed for the conditions you're going to be finding in each of those, and a different level of roughness that's going to be modulating the spin as consistently as possible between wet and dry to make sure that you really don't have to take that element into account when you're hitting a shot. We've kind of got you covered on that. And overall consistency, I think, has been really a focus in the past years when it comes to our wedge designs. Instead of necessarily max spin consistency has sort of been an engineering philosophy, whether it's, you know, from the fairway, from the rough, from wet or dry conditions, you're going to be getting that as close to that max spin performance as possible.
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is really interesting year over year is you talk about these additive properties to a wedge. Not necessarily that as you dummy down my RTX 4 a little bit, it wasn't that you gave up on things there. It's you made them better. Yes. And the curious part about Z Alloy is, okay, we now have this crazy new material that's 10% softer, and, you know, stacking the deck on that side of things, now make everything else work. And my fear is always, well, if a company gives up on a concept, it means it wasn't quite meeting expectations, or they've resolved that. So if you come out with a new material with no UltiZip on there or no HydroZip on there, it's like, okay, maybe they weren't all that bought into these elements of their wedge. But when you see it carried over model to model, clearly you fear very strongly as a company that those need to exist for maximum performance.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we spend so much research on each of these elements, each generation, and they're all valid. Like, we're not going to be putting something on there just because it's a marketing story and, you know, doesn't actually make an impact to performance. Otherwise, you know, we'd be throwing some of these out, you know, 1 year to the next, exactly as you said. It certainly adds up on a spec sheet or, you know, should I still be talking about technologies from two or three generations ago? I like to, because they still make a massive difference over the wedges, you know, many players might still be playing. And from a cost perspective, these things unfortunately add up as well. It's not like we're adding a new technology and, you know, throwing away something that was a cost in the past to save some money. So I think all the value in the wedges there as well will be experienced by the end player and can really be seen in the performance. And other areas we really focus on, probably want to talk about soul grinds as well and everything we've updated there.
Oh, we will get there for sure. But I kind of wanted to just make our way through the wedge itself. Totally. And then we'll start talking about some of the very personalized elements that make up every internet golfer's wedge. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about is this continuation of ZipCore, which is a pretty wild technology and something that really brought me back to Cleveland wedges when you guys first made that change. I think it's really interesting, the ability to manipulate CG on what is or what should feel like a fully connected wedge, or, you know, what I'm saying is a lack of cavity makes for a lack of material movement. So getting ZipCore working right obviously is a great thing. How has that changed a lot from this one, or are you seeing a lot of the similarities to ZipCore?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've done really well in this wedge is take advantage of the zip core that we have. So the actual size of the zip core has stayed relatively similar, and the large amount of mass, over 20 grams that we're shifting with zip core, is really being taken even more advantage of. So you add that to the 6 grams that Z Alloy gives us, and you've got a lot of weight to sort of move around and position in ways that we, you know, wouldn't without all of that built in. And again, the challenge of getting ZipCore in this wedge was a challenge, where it's not a copy and paste over from a different material to the new one. I think one of the misnomers, and I saw a couple comments over the last couple days, is we've got all this discretionary mass, but we just made a traditional looking blade wedge and we didn't really use it. I take that actually as a massive compliment. The weight is shifted. If you really look and you know what you're looking for, you'll see those elements in sort of the high toe and the low toe, and some of those swooping materials is very purposefully placed and isn't just a design choice. It's to move that weight exactly where our engineers want it. However, I think we've done an absolutely masterful job from an ID perspective of making it look like that traditional wedge that has, you know, none of that ugly weight movement or massive cutouts here and there, or, you know, some of those funky design features that players don't like in a sort of clean looking wedge. So I think we've really struck a pretty incredible balance of making a wedge that looks extremely clean and classic and blade like and workable and overall clean and well received by your better players, but sort of hiding some of those forgiveness and, you know, weight shift elements that are going to improve feel and overall spin and performance consistency, which we know is what everybody's really looking for in their wedges.
Well, and they're also looking for continuity across all brands, which I think is super unfair. But listen, I think golfers, when they get to a wedge, suddenly presume they have the ability of a very highly skilled golfer. Yes. And I guess from an around the green perspective, it makes a lot of sense. It's probably that one club in their bag they feel like they can control a little bit. So to have those subtle nuances that they expect, you're sort of handcuffed to maintain the same sort of presence that everyone else has. It's a matter of what you do behind the scenes, what's underneath the surface, you know, those types of things that will allow players to grab a Cleveland wedge if they haven't hit one before and not feel like they're holding on to a foreign object as opposed to, you know, what they're familiar with, right?
Yeah. I think there's definitely some constraints we hold ourselves to in the RTZ family specifically, with address profile has to be within, you know, a certain sizing, and even leading edges. We really get into, you know, detail of what those need to look like, what a player wants to look down at, and blade length and everything like that is finely crafted to make sure that they fit sort of a better player's eye and expectations, and of the look in the bag obviously matters as well to an extent of a clean design that a player is going to want to look at and will give them confidence for what they're looking for. But I do think it gives us a bit of an opportunity as a brand to have the CBX family to throw out a lot of those constraints and be able to go a little bit bigger on our designs and, you know, a little bit larger cavity back, wider soles, all of that, to play with a little bit less rules for a player who's really looking for that forgiveness above all else, and still, you know, playing a wedge that's got a good mix of versatility built in, but isn't going to be as constrained by the looks of a classic blade wedge and the workability that kind of comes with that.
Well, let's talk about the thing I don't want to talk about, because I'm one of those guys who has not yet adapted at all to this full face concept, but you know, it's clearly a thing that exists, and people seem to really like it. I prefer those subtle toe grooves you guys have on the Rotex and all that, but sure. You know, full face probably has to happen. And a lot of people are really excited about adapt with full face. Like it's to me, it's crazy looking, but I know lots of people who love it and play the ball out there. So yeah. Why does it matter so much to have this full face wedge?
Sure. I like that you use adapted as you're not one of the people who've adapted to that. That was a good play on words. I think the adapt is an extremely exciting offering to be offered as part of the line instead of always coming out a year later at potentially different price point, maybe a little bit different components. In the past, it's always been a little bit tricky for players to kind of purchase a full face wedge that went with the rest of their set and, you know, performs how they expect it to. And we're really focused with this RTZ launch to allow players to build their set however they would like with their wedges. So where are you comfortable kind of going to a more unique design that you will really benefit you when you're opening up the face? I mean, have you ever, Dan, tracked where you're hitting the ball when you're playing flop shots around the green?
You're asking questions I'm not willing to answer. Yes, of course I have.
I think most players would be a little bit surprised where they end up striking the ball on a lot of those open face shots they play. Maybe spray your face a little bit and see how often those shots are really striking that higher toe area. As soon as you're opening up the face, even a perfect strike is going to be shifting towards that high toe, which from a performance perspective around the greens, you're going to be getting a lot of inconsistency if there's no grooves there. So whether that's striking half on grooves, half on what we call toe par, I don't know if there's a real industry term for that section past the groove. That's sort of an inside baseball one we use, but that's going to be causing inconsistency and a lack of, a lack of spin on those shots. So having a little bit of added mass there, along with those grooves all the way to the toe, really help that performance around the greens when you're getting creative. So we recommend in general that people at least consider it starting in those 54 degree even, wherever they're going to start opening up the face around the greens. And we've really comboed it with a grind that is kind of a catch-all for anybody who wants to get creative and adapt to either whatever conditions or whatever shot types they want to find. So this is going to be a sort of C-shaped sole with a little bit of a leading edge bounce chamfer, about 8 degrees on most of those models. That's going to allow for players to get creative, but still play it in all kinds of conditions. So it's really easy to open the face with this, but it's not going to be a club that's going to dig either out of a softer condition with that, you know, a little bit of a leading edge bounce chamfer built in there. So for anybody who's looking to get creative, no matter what conditions you're playing, it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. You're kind of cutting me deep here. Cause listen, I know where I hit it. My wedges are clean after every shot. So I am very familiar with where my contact point is around the greens. And it wasn't until these wedges started coming out, and not just, you know, Cleveland, across the industry. I'm not afraid to be admitting of being just a little bit picky when it comes to stuff. And I've chosen to sit on this hill and be cranky about it. But, you know, now when I make those contact points, I look at it. I'm like, I know they're right. I know I'm being an idiot, but I'm also a golfer and I have the right to hit this badly.
Yeah.
So to suggest that it doesn't have significant benefits to people would be incredibly silly. Just as much it is for me to say, no, I won't do it. But I think it's a great addition. I think that based on the way people have reacted to it in the past, and based on the excitement that we've seen on THP where they see the full face of milling and get really excited about it, I think it's pretty telling that there is absolutely a place for it and there is absolutely a benefit for it.
Yeah. I think it's a tricky one for us to generally decide throughout the line. Your traditionalist, again, like yourself, likes the sort of traditional look, right? And the standard look. And I think the only benefit you can maybe sort of get out of that is alignment to an extent. If you're looking to, you know, you're used to that sort of squared off section. And I don't know, we've been trying to, you know, scratch our heads at what is this really doing for people? Especially on, you know, the more iron like lofts, I think it makes a lot of sense. But in general, the full face just adds sort of a benefit for whenever you're touching, hitting the ball on the toe. And having it kind of built into our line, but with shaping that, you know, will combo extremely well wherever you make that transition, is a really natural step for players to start with it in their 60 or start with it in their 56. And then, you know, kind of transition into the more traditional looking wedges below that. So, yeah, it's really exciting to have it kind of built into the standard line for the first time and with its own grind and its own positioning. Really happy with the early feedback we've gotten there. And I think we've already sold a ton of them.
Well, let's talk about all the options that are available from the wedge perspective. You guys certainly weren't light on SKUs here. And I think a lot of people have huge expectations when it comes to getting the grind they want, getting the shaping they want. You guys really went all out for this, and why?
Yeah. I think we really want to make sure that everybody has, you know, a option that fits their game in the part of their bag that they're looking to play a wedge. I think what we do better than anybody is really make our options more understandable. Low, mid, full, adapt. Like the name kind of tells you what you need to know on each offering to an extent. Obviously, we've got a lot of resources to try to make that decision even easier, from callouts in store to we've got a new wedge selector on our website that we'll kind of walk you through the process of selecting a grind and fit you for the proper ones. But we know players all across the country are playing much different conditions and need different, you know, different design features in each of their lofts. So having a, you know, wide ranging SKU matrix between all finishes to really help players find the performance that fits their game best is certainly a priority. And we want to make sure everybody's getting the right grinds to play their best golf.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like a lot though. You know, it's not just the mids, the lows, the fulls. Like there's a whole additional series where you're allowing golfers to really create this sort of finite profile for themselves. You're letting the picky be picky. And normally yeah. It's like, relax, man. But now you're like, well, if you want a little relief edge, you want a heel or heel toe. It's like, I don't know what I want, but obviously all these great options, I need them all. So, So we're talking on the tour rack. You have custom grinds you can apply to your wedges now.
Yes.
For those who feel like these already pre-existing solid options. Yes, I'm looking at you, Hawk, Ryan over on THP, are not enough. You need all these other crazy options to really make this wedge yourself or your own. I feel like this was born off a lot of feedback, but also born off of, hey, we can do it, so why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's extremely exciting to be able to fine tune your wedges just like a tour player can. It's not something that you can really do with every company. There's very few of these programs out there, especially at the price points we're offering. I mean, these upcharges are not crazy for, you know, leading edge refinements and soul grind refinements for a wedge that's truly designed in a tour crafted way, to, you know, fit your game specifically. So yeah, we definitely had some feedback of, hey, I see these tour players who are playing, you know, these custom just for them grinds. I wish I could have, you know, a larger bounce, but you know, I play these firmer conditions where I could really use a little bit of a sharper leading edge. Like we could offer that, you know, we could bring that tour experience to players. So having that, and then for the first time in a wedge that's going to stand up for years performance wise without the rust in the tour rack, I think has really expanded the opportunity there, where you're no longer going to be getting this customized wedge that's going to be, you know, looking rusty and quite different after, you know, a year or two of playing it. Now that finish and that grind is going to maintain for a lot longer, and the durability of the face is going to last longer. So you're getting a true wedge built to your specs that's going to last for longer than it would have in the past. It's really a tour authentic experience and something that can be game changing for a player who knows exactly what he needs.
Well, I think it's great. It's a lot. It's a lot more than we casual golfers deserve. But the fact that you're willing to offer it is pretty fun. And there are other customizations too. I remember way back in the day having these random finishes on the back of your Cleveland wedge that's carried on. I'm looking right now as I look this way. I'm looking at the website with the United States flag and what looks like maybe a piece of money on there, some flowers. Like it's, you guys haven't stopped. It just continues. It's really allowing people to define themselves through their wedges.
Yeah. This year we're calling it kind of internally personalization 2.0, where we've really revamped what we're offering across the board. Currently on our site, we're offering free personalization for custom characters and the brand new, which has been a home run, and we need to order more. Custom ferrules have just absolutely taken off. I don't know why it's not more of a standard thing in the industry. I think we're sort of one of the first big companies to be offering them as part of our personalization process, but they have been a hit. We've got some cool ones, and mixing that with your paint fills and with your custom characters. And then in about a month or so, we're going to be rolling out a lot of those custom skins across all three finishes for the first time. We've had them on black satin in the past, but they'll be on tour satin and tour rack here soon. Is going to be, you know, really fun for anybody who's trying to really make that wedge to their own design. And it's going to be a menu of personalization options that really you can't find anywhere else.
That's so cool. And yeah, to your point on the ferrules, there have been some situations where it's like, yeah, you can have one option or two options. You guys have a lot of options. And I really think you're spoiling golfers. Like I know we're spending good money on these things, but you know, it's really fun to see that level of customization. And the willingness to go that extra step to support golfers trend in there.
Yeah, it's been fun to see all the designs that have been coming through. We're making a ton of these right now. I mean, our free personalization window is about to be up here in a few days. And I think our polishing team is going to be very happy when it is, because there's been a lot of very creative orders coming through, and they're running around like crazy getting those things made. But it's extremely exciting to see people really loving the program and making wedges that, you know, truly fit their own style.
So you have incredible new wedges. I think people are going to be talking about these for a while on the THP website, as well as making their buddies hit it when they go and play. But any final thoughts today on RTZ and what you can expect for this year? People go and try it themselves.
Yeah, I would say try it yourself. It's really, I think, the most exciting wedge we've came out with since I've been with the company, and is truly, you know, not an evolution. I would say it's a revolution in the way we design a product. You'll feel the difference yourself if you have this wedge in your hand and hit it, compared to a past generation. That 10% softer is something that is really noticeable. And I've been playing them for months, and the buttery feel has been incredibly impressive on these designs. And I mean, we've really refined everything from, you know, the turf interaction with the soles to the leading edges are milled for the first time. We didn't even really get into that. It's so many other things to talk about, but that's, you know, kind of under the theme of small refinements that we really take every aspect of the wedge into account to ensure we get the, you know, the maximum performance, consistency, and overall create a design that will suit the game of every player that comes in looking for a new wedge. So yeah, I would say try it out for yourself and see these things in person on the shelf too. I mean, they look even better in person than they do on your computer screen.
Yeah, I really like that new steel, better feel.
Yes,
tagline. That's so money. It's so good.
Yeah, it's accurate. It's really accurate, and I think our marketing team did a great job coming up with that one and kind of cutting through the clutter of the million things we could talk about on this new material and everything it does. It's like, at the end of the day, it's just a wedge that's going to feel better than the last ones, and you'll notice the difference instantly.
Well, Casey, I appreciate you coming on. I'll have to have you on again to talk more about all these great products coming out in the future, and have fun at the show. I know it's a crazy time of year, but always rewarding to get that excitement coming back to you. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey everybody, Don Brown from True Temper here, answering another one of your questions. This question is about the impact of AI and or 3D printing on the golf shaft design space. We'll take the easy one first, 3D printing. We've obviously seen some of the advances in 3D printing. We've seen iron heads made with 3D printing and a lot of other products. Doesn't work so much for golf shafts yet, though. In golf shafts, we use carbon fibers that run the full length of the shaft, and as of yet, 3D printing is unable to produce those kind of long length fibers. So I think we're a ways off on 3D printing. AI is another story. AI is advancing faster than anyone could possibly imagine. We're already seeing where people can write advanced code using AI, so would not be surprised at all in the future, instead of us designing a shaft, we sit down with AI and say, here's our materials. I need a 60 gram shaft, low launch, low spin, 2.5 degrees of torque, 0.6 butt diameter, 0.335 tip diameter, go. And AI will spit out mandrel, layup, materials, fibers, resin content, all of those great things. So that's gonna be a very exciting advancement to see in AI. And who knows, eventually maybe we'll be able to take a video of your swing, throw it in AI, and produce the perfect golf shaft for you.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.